I'm Kelly Vives, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer. Today, I'm here with Anne Mulledy, our Chief Diversity Officer and Head of Active Equity, and John Monninger, Head of U.S. Distribution. Thank you, Anne and John, for joining us on what is the first ever episode of Spring Talk, our new podcast platform for AllSpring.
Thanks for having us, Kelly.
Kelly, thanks for having us on. Look forward to it.
So you've both been guests on our previous series on the trading desk, which we've had for many years. Today marks a transition that I'm personally very excited about. It's more than just a name change for the podcast. I really see it as another milestone in our rebrand strategy and the journey of fully realizing who we are at AllSpring, both as a company and as a brand. We like this name, Spring Talk, because we feel it's indicative of what's happening here. If you think about spring, we're fresh, we're new, we're taking a new approach to investing, we're meeting our investors and our clients where they want to be met. Talk, we're people-centric, we're human-centric, whether it's clients, employees, our partners, it's a key component to our success, that our core belief that people drive it. Everyone's voice is important and we want to hear what they have to say. So, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about the new name, but I think it's an exciting next chapter.
I do as well. I love the variety of voices we have and the different ideas that come out of the people at AllSpring. So it's a great name.
Yo, Kelly, I think about I like the way you broke it down. So spring to me does mean like looking ahead, right? Like springing forward. We always use that as a way to think about the clock even, right? So having a fresh set of eyes and perspective. And I like talk because I think one of the things that we've done in the past and I think we want to do more of is that straight talk, right? It's hearing from experts on important and relevant topics. So bringing a fresh, forward-looking set of eyes, coupled with a straight talk to me is exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah. It feels authentically AllSpring, which I like. So before we get into some of the key questions and what's in store for 24, I just want to reminisce for a minute. You know, Anne, you've been a very frequent guest on the trading desk throughout the years. And if we want to just be nostalgic for a minute, I don't know if you have any kind of favorite memories or episodes from those appearances through the years.
You know, Kelly, I had a hard time with this one because there's so many episodes that I thought of. But really what sums it up for me is I love the episodes the most where, you know, we get to dig a little bit deeper and get to know our people better. And I think the reason why is our business is based so much on relationships and trust and the trust that our clients have in us. And so when we get to dive a little bit deeper into our people, that really helps build the connection. So I did a podcast in 2020, I think, and I talked a little bit about my unconventional path into our industry and the challenges along the way. And although it was uncomfortable and can be uncomfortable to share sometimes your personal story, I think I got probably the most feedback from our listeners from that podcast than any other. And it was less about markets, but I think it's because they felt that connection and it was about building relationships. And so I think the ones that we really get to know our people better are the ones that I tend to really love the most.
Oh, I love that. No, and I think it's a nice balance, right? You have timely market insights. You know, we come a few times a month. There's humanistic content, but the humanistic ones perform quite well, which is interesting. And I think that's a little bit of a shift over the past few years, just in terms of how people are engaging with content. And I think, you know, John, we've tortured you sufficiently in the year that you joined by, you know, you have been a host on the podcast. And I think a notable shift that we made when we became AllSpring was we said, well, why do we need to have one, two or three people do all of the hosting? Let's get more faces, more voices out there. And in fact, I think last year we had 33 different hosts, including you, hosting. And, you know, I think that was something different. Did you see an advantage of that?
Well, I mean, I'm an active listener of podcasts, and you know, most podcasts do have a central figure, right? That is the host and it runs it that way. And that's great. And I think there's room for that. But I think what we benefited from is the range of topics and depth we can get into with leaders and experts, whether it's personal, as Anne alluded to, or, you know, it's really digging into real relevant topics and themes and considerations in the markets. And where I think we spent my favorite ones were not only the ones that Anne referenced, I do think that's true, but it's also ones where we got into very specific client issues where we can really drill into, you know, how do we address the typical client problem that we're trying to solve for? I think those allow us this bringing more people in because the host, having that expertise, knows what questions to ask. And I think one of the things I hope we get out of the future of these is we not only we give you insights as a listener, that's certainly the benefit of most podcasts. And I think we've been able to do that hopefully in the past, but it's also arming with the right questions to ask, the right questions to consider that you might use with your clients or constituents, whether it's a board, a committee, or if you're an advisor with your clients. We want to arm you with the right questions to ask them as well. And I hope that comes out. And I think that only comes out by having the right people being the host and the guest.
What's a good segue to our top five question? So, you know, in the spirit of new beginnings and, you know, we're kicking off this new podcast Spring Talk and also kicking off 2024, you know, I would love to talk about what are those burning top questions that investors should be asking themselves right now? And I know you're head of active equity, but let's talk fixed income. It's an interesting time for investors. They're rethinking, recalibrating their positioning right now. You know, how are you thinking about the fixed income space?
You know, Kelly, it is such an interesting time. And although my entire career I've mostly been focused, as you said, on equities, as an investor, I too am interested in fixed income now. And part of the reason is because, you know, yields have risen significantly. And after more than a decade of rates being historically low, you now see yields that are really, really attractive. There's also a lot of cash on the sidelines, and that cash is going to need to be put to work at some point. And when you look at all the macro uncertainty that's out there, there's some fear to go all the way into equities, but fixed income is a nice kind of middle ground to go to. And there's a lot of variety within the fixed income space. And so I think, you know, as an investor myself, fixed income seems to be one of the best places to go with some of that cash on the sidelines.
And Kelly, if I could just jump in, I mean, I think the next most obvious question then is for investors is how am I planning on moving out the curve, right? If I buy into this concept of this yield advantage or yield opportunity, yeah, I think that has to be the next question. And for me, like I think about it, the expectations of rate cuts in the coming year, the probability of the Fed lowering rates is high, resulting in what I think is an opportunity to benefit from yield and capital appreciation for those moving out the curve. And you're not going to get that, unfortunately, sitting in cash. So although cash is king at the moment, been a great place for most people, although there has even been a give up in 23, frankly, the Goldilocks moment is here. It's upon us. That adding duration could help you generate better expected returns over the coming years. And it may even simply just moving out a little bit, ultra short duration becomes maybe the most obvious for a conservative investor. So I think the added question is to an investor is looking to address what are they solving for? What are you trying to address? Like I said, you can move out a little bit and that might just help a little bit on returns, right? And there's some cushion there. Even if rates were to go the other way, you still have room right now more than we've had in the past. Yield cushion that we didn't have before in terms of the potential for losing money. That all said, I think the biggest suggestion in that lies in this question is the question of diversity. How much do you want to diversify your duration and how much quality do you want to take on? And I think our suggestion simply is diversify duration while maintaining an up in quality bias across fixed income sectors. And I think that's the questions have to lie in there.
So let's move to the equity side. And, you know, as investors are looking at what happened last year and, you know, what should they be asking themselves related to outcomes they should be hoping for in 2024 in their equity portfolio?
Well, I do think we can get positive returns out of equities, but it's going to be from different places than we saw in 23. And one of the things we think investors should be focused on is where, you know, their concentration risk. That's really one of the key points. Index investors are taking some of the highest concentration risks they've ever seen before. And it's really because of the concentration we see in the indexes themselves. There's a big part of that benchmark that is almost sitting out of the game or did in 23. We don't think that that's likely again to be repeated in 2024. And so our investment teams are much more interested in being diversified and looking at returns, being much more active, taking that active approach. And again, you know, we look across, you know, we do both passive and active here at Allspring, but taking an active approach and really being much more diversified seems to make so much sense given where even earnings are going to come from as we look to 2024.
And I think you're 100% right. You know, that concentration looks so evident and maybe even so obvious. I think the other one, though, is like after considering concentration, investors, I think, should consider what triggers am I monitoring to help me jump on opportunistic portfolio decisions? What am I looking for? And, you know, for me, I go back and I've for my entire career talked about cycles of the market, right? And really understanding, you know, where we are. And I think cycles of the market are helpful guides. They're not the triggers exactly, but they're not really to time the market either. They're really just to give you a market context around how to maximize returns while also managing risk. But it gives you a little bit of perspective. As an example, when I look at last year, large caps were the 23 outperformers in equities. And we believe, and if we look at cycles, 24 could see the return of quality small mid cap equities as an example. And the reason you see that is the trigger is there's a valuation disparity today between large and small cap, which has widened tremendously. If you marry that disparity with what we've already mentioned about earnings quality, right, which is super important in that space, if you can identify those with, you know, valuation disparities, which we can see today, and earnings quality, you can begin to identify leaders. So I think that's a good example of triggers to identify. Maybe the other one might be on the fixed income side, you know, that similar concept of if you're looking to get extra yield while also managing higher interest rate sensitivity, you'd be looking at the plus sections of the market, right? And for that, you got to keep in mind earnings quality, durable balance sheets to be able to capture those opportunities. But I think those are where we're looking at, what you should be looking at as you think about opportunistic views. So not only like in the bond market, moving out the curve, good idea, but how do you do that? And again, I think the plus sectors present a cool opportunity because you do get, you know, the credit risk management, you're looking for protection against, you know, earnings quality, and certainly durable balance sheets gives you something that you can really have a little more confidence in going forward.
You know, I think we have one more top five question, although, John, you've layered questions and questions. So, you know, maybe we've given people more to think about. But to round out our top five, I mean, what John, what do you think question number five is? What's the last thing you think people should really have front of mind right now?
Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there today, right? I mean, we have Fed uncertainty on rates. You have geopolitical uncertainties. We have election coming up. I'll let Ann maybe speak on that for a minute. And their potential impact on the markets, right? And I think that's one of those years where I'm actually probably more uncertain this year coming in than I have typically been about where things are going to go. One of the great things that Allspring has created is the market risk monitor. And it's a great tool to help kind of synthesize some of that down for you, our clients, and our potential clients. And so maybe if I pull from that a little bit and back to podcast, Kelly, some of you may have heard the podcast back in October where I had John Hockers on and we spoke about the top risk we were seeing at the time. I'll just give you a preview of a couple of the new ones that showed up and some of the existing ones that were there. I'll pull the top three for a minute. Number one on the list, which was up from number two, is the potential conflict with Iran. You've seen all of us, the activity going on in that part of the world. And you can see that, you know, relatively uncertain what could happen there, whether it's Israel and Iran, US and Iran, or some combination of those is not great. High probabilities of something happening and the impact could be great. The impact is likely higher energy prices. So if you're underweight energy, that's a problem. And you might want to consider how you play the energy markets or how your portfolios are represented there as well. Number two would be Chinese military action in the South and East China Seas. Again, you know, maybe less of a probability, but a probability nonetheless, certainly one we're paying a lot of attention to because the risk again lies from a portfolio perspective is if you're overweight Asian equities, that has one particular issue. But even without that, you know, Taiwan, which is one of the potential targets, is a hardware segment of the IT sector. There, and for semiconductors, they're a semiconductor hub. So if you're not paying attention to that, that could be a risk. And then the third one is just a global recession. And again, we don't know. I think a lot of people are stepping off of recession. That said, China, Europe, and even the US to some degree have begun to exhibit signs of economic contraction. You see that in companies' decision-making. You see that in the way inflation's coming down. So cyclicals, industrials, financials, IT sectors could underperform if the world enters a recession. So you just have to pay attention to it. And how are you insulating your portfolio around those risks? Doesn't mean get out of those. It just means how do you insulate the risk?
If I just go back to what John said about being an election year, I think that's one of the key focus areas for all of our equity investors for sure, and fixed income. And what we know historically is election years typically are good for markets. But I think they also realize that we're, you know, closer to the end of what has been a pretty good economic cycle. And so there's a lot of give and take and a lot of uncertainty, as John pointed out as well. And I too believe that the Risk Monitor has been a great tool to look at, but I'm always humbled by the fact that many risks that happen in the market are surprises. And so we spend a lot of time trying to listen for the quiet and trying to, you know, look around the corner and figure out what other people are not talking about. And, you know, hopefully get a chance to talk more about those on Spring Talk and in other venues too.
Yeah. And in an election year, I mean, John, something I know is near and dear to your heart is, you know, taxes. We talk about it a lot. And, you know, so how are you thinking about that? I mean, that's probably another embedded risk within an election year that we should be thinking about.
Yeah. And Kelly, to be clear, what's near and dear to my heart is the minimization of taxes, just to be fair. But
yes. Nobody loves taxes.
I like talking about taxes. I like the minimization of taxes as a gift to our clients, frankly, to the degree we can deliver that. That's certainly our strategy and mandate. No, I think there is a big issue, right? I mean, if you look at the election and the outcomes, we do have sunsetting for those that, you know, pay attention to tax law. There is a number of tax laws sunsetting in 25. So that really, the election is going to play a big role in whether those sunset or get pushed forward to other years. And I think one of the things, Kelly, we'll try to do this year is maybe we'll spend a little more time on elections and what is that impact on portfolios could be a good set of topics as we think about the remainder of 24.
Absolutely. Well, and John, I think you've given our listeners plenty to think about in terms of navigating what's ahead in 24. Thank you for joining me today for the first ever episode of Spring Talk and for laying out the big questions for 2024. To recap, our top five questions are surrounding cash on the sidelines, riding the curve in fixed income, concentration in an equity portfolio, where and how to be opportunistic in a portfolio, and lastly, managing risk, and don't forget about, you know, tax and minimizing your taxes. So I would also like to thank our listeners, whether you've been following along with On the Trading Desk for 15 years, or this is your first time joining us, we appreciate your support and look forward to this new chapter. We hope to see you next time on Spring Talk.
Visit allspringglobal.com to receive more market insights and investment perspectives from Allspring Global Investments. To hear the latest from our thought leaders on the ever-changing investment landscape, you can subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening and joining us on the road to investing elevated. This material is provided for informational purposes only and is for professional, institutional, or qualified clients, investors, not for retail use outside the U.S. This material does not constitute an offer or solicitation and in any case is not intended to be used in any jurisdiction or to any person where it would be unauthorized or unlawful to do so. Allspring Global Investments, Allspring, is the trade name for the asset management companies of Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, a holding company indirectly owned by certain private funds of GTCR, LLC, and Reverence Capital Partners, LP. Unless otherwise stated, Allspring is the source of all data, which is current or, as of the date stated, past performance is not a guarantee or reliable indicator of future results. All investments contain risk. Content is provided for informational purposes only, with no representation regarding its adequacy, accuracy, or completeness, and should not be relied upon. Views, opinions, assumptions, or estimates are not necessarily that of Allspring and are subject to change without notice. And this communication does not contain investment advice, an investment recommendation, or investment research as defined under local regulation of the respective jurisdiction. Diversification does not ensure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. Copyright 2024 Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, all rights reserved. January 2024.